Campbell, California. I hear this man Saddam says he's a Muslim, that he fears Allah, but he kills millions of Muslims since he came to control Iraq. He killed in Iran war and he killed in Kuwait. He doesn't fear Allah. He's not a Muslim. Could you tell Dr. Scott to say that? Yeah, I find that easy to say. Many Muslim people do not know the truth and are confused. I listen to Dr. Scott and I'm glad, and please tell him this. Saddam Hussein worships himself. He doesn't worship Allah. He worships Saddam. He has published and mailed out and stipulated that his people believe it, a false genealogy chart that traces him back to a relative of Muhammad. Just a first step toward self-deification. And most people in the Islamic faith pay no attention worldwide to his call for a holy war, because only a holy man can call for that, and he ain't one. So you're dead right. And you know, I'm quite sure it made the troops feel real good today to see 70,000 people supporting them, particularly with the halftime activities and the response of the audience at the Super Bowl to the singing of the national anthem, and the children and relatives of the troops who were children in that halftime ceremony. It's a lot different than Vietnam. Those that are for supporting our troops are getting out there and activating themselves and not letting these peace yellows steal the show. The media and the peaceniks who screamed about our environment but now don't want to come down on Saddam, and screamed about racism in other places but refused to recognize it in Saddam, who said that the world must always remember the Holocaust and never let it happen again. Don't want to apply that formula to Saddam and his imitation of Hitler. Worse than Hitler, having learned, in his view, from Hitler's mistakes. So it's time for the majority to let their voice be heard. This must have been very, very encouraging to the troops to see that today. I'm sure before it's over, the media will be pointing out that there's another point of view than that which was expressed in the Super Bowl. It'll just kill them to ever play that in isolation without somehow trying to water it down. In case you think I've cooled off toward the media since last Sunday and their treasonous reporting on this war, I want you to know I haven't. They say they want the facts, but they're lying. What they want is the ego trip of being the first to tell you. There was a Freudian slip by one of them who said, in discussing the pool system in Arabia, has a scoop. You know anyone that's ever brought forth a scoop from pool reporting? And the answer is obvious. No, the question contains the answer. But it also revealed what their real motive is. The real motive is not the people at all. It's their ego trip to be the first to tell us. Now, one of the most important briefings since the war began occurred this morning. Not by one of the lesser officers in terms of rank, and I think ability, but from Schwarzkopf himself. The importance of the briefing was recognized by one of the networks, who said, its importance is highlighted by the fact that Schwarzkopf himself is giving the briefing. The explanation and reporting for the first time, though you could see the voracious appetite of the reporters as they want, if they can't scoop it and have been told before the briefing, they want to be able to tell you at least 5 seconds before the briefer does what the briefer's going to tell you. Nothing has happened in this war quite as significant in the long run, much more significant than the scuds that have been eating up all the time. By the way, I saw one of the funniest hand-drawn pictures today of why it's difficult to locate these scud launches I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it showed a camel with his head in the air and the eyes about popping out of his head and the scud missile coming out of his mouth. And it showed Iraqi soldier behind him sitting on a stool with a sledgehammer raised, and you know what he was hitting on the camel. It was labeled Iraqi scud launchers. But all the news has been on the scud missiles that are unadulterated terrorism. That's all they are. But in terms of long-range effects, the oil spill in the Gulf was critical in importance. The networks did not deem, except for CNN, to even carry it while they had a few, I don't really want to describe them, but you don't really get much wisdom out of these pre-game shows on one of the networks. And so much of the prattle that went on, the networks didn't deem it important enough to carry that briefing by Schwarzkopf live. He explained what had been done. And if you'll notice, the media keeps saying, with one exception throughout the rest of the day that I heard, that what he reported is that we are bombing the pipelines to shut off the flow. Now, you know what to a world audience that implies, bombing the pipelines. They're not bombing the pipelines. It was very precision bombing of the manifolds. Now, I know it's difficult for them to explain things if they can't fit it into large letters on an idiot card. But manifold has in its root meaning many or a multiple. And these manifolds are simply connectors from multiple pipes that connect them into other multiples of pipes. It's a junction center where you have valves that control incoming manifold tubes or pipes, and you control through these manifolds the distribution out through many pipes. So it's a control and distribution center that's a whale of a difference from bombing pipelines. And I see that more of their slanting of the news. Always trying to make us look bad, put us on the defensive. I listened to Henry Kissinger on one of the talk shows, The Press Goes to War, where they were sitting there and mutually crying in each other's soup, Kissinger being the non-newsman that was there, and one print newsman that apparently has never had a chance to talk in his whole life and has been building up all these years, apparently, because he didn't know what to do with his mouth. It's obvious that he's a print journalist because he's not good with his mouth. Kissinger made a point And oh, how defensive they got. But he said in his usual deep voice, "And I know Henry Kissinger. We met for the first time during the library telethon. But it's always been an amusing story that I love to tell of how the executives at ARCO had set the stage for me to meet Henry and Henry to meet me. So they had us all positioned in proper protocol. And he came around the corner and everything fell apart. He said, "Dr. Scott!" And from there, their protocol fell apart. And he made a marvelous contribution after we had talked and discovered that we had met by television. I listening to him and he listening to me. And he made the contribution which you saw, those who watched the telethon. But as always, he can slice through. And basically he said that it was okay to report what is obviously propaganda coming out of Iraq. It was okay to report it, but he did not think the reporters should give the same moral weight or evaluation to the statements on our side or the free side where it's very obvious that they may be withholding things for reasons that they usually state are, and I think properly, security reasons. But when they do speak, they tell the truth. I doubt seriously that anybody tells the truth perfectly at all times. I'm not sure anybody knows what truth is all the time. But there is an obvious effort, and you only have to watch to know that the military is doing their best when they come forth to report to not overstate and to make sure that what they do tell us is accurate. The Iraqi method is lying. The Iraqi reports have been demonstrated to be false enough times that when you certainly know that it is false to at best slanted propaganda, you don't come in with some kind of bland, mindless scale of value and put what the Iraqis say on the same moral weight as though you're presenting two sides that have equal validity as you do the American and the British and the Saudi reports. And if you want to question the Saudi on the ground that we don't know for sure if they exaggerated on the helicopters that allegedly crossed over, at least the Americans and the British have done a studious job of trying to be forthright in what they tell us, accepting and, in my case, agreeing with their right to withhold. And even to censor. One of the points they made is that coming off of a ship when the pilots were just coming back, some writer said they were giddy. And this was exchanged or substituted out for a more appropriate word, that they were proud or excited or something like that. Well, in both cases, they're evaluative judgments. And I doubt seriously that pilots... I'd like to see a newsman get into a plane and land on a carrier with a giddy pilot. He might decide to choose his words with more accuracy. But let's take a case in point. The newsmen know that the military is too smart to tell this story, knowing it'll rise to haunt them and get them hounded, probably out of the Gulf. And I'm quite sure there are some news people that have had access to the clear evidence that before the oil spill, the tankers were sitting low in the water, full. And now they are sitting high in the water, emptied. And they're not burning. So they haven't been emptied as a result of bombing. They've been emptied. Circumstantial evidence heavily weights the truth that is the Saudis who turned the oil loose. The pictures are clear enough that the Sea Island situation is a result of turning the spigots loose. The bombing exercise and the careful planning of all the experts to stop the flow lends evidence of a deliberate opening of the spigots. They're on record as saying they would do it, yet you're still finding the media telling both sides that the military says they did it deliberately, but the Saudis say it's the result of bombing. Not the Saudis, but the Iraqis say it's the result of bombing. And in a petulant, spoiled brat, self-deification, positioning of themselves as above everything, and one even had the gall to say that he was that the press is the proxy for the public. When did we vote them in and grant them that proxy? And then you have, I think it's Bill Moyers, insulting the American people who've long ago learned you can prove anything with numbers, giving us a numbers game that of the 2,900 minutes or hours or whatever it was, some strange, outlandish figure of total time devoted to the subject of the war, only 9.5 minutes in the given time span was devoted to the dissenters. Therefore, they weren't getting their pro rata percentage of airtime on the subject. It seems to me that the media carried the negative speeches of congressmen and senators and interviewed plenty of them with their anti-war stance. That's dissenting too. That should have been included in the time. But no, the deck is all stacked as they continue to insult our intelligence, petulantly follow after their giddy desire to be the number one proxy for the American public, which they've anointed themselves to do. What they are is sodomizers. All they do is sodomize us every night. Oh, for fire from heaven to fall on them like ancient Sodom and Gomorrah. They sodomize us night after night. And I want them called that. You know, I'm tired of the respect they're showing forth. They all know Tariq Aziz. Now he writes a letter holding the Secretary General of the United Nations personally responsible for the war in the Gulf. These arrogant, racist, fascist, self-deluded megalomaniacs who are like a strutting gang leader in a turf, used to shooting people. They don't bow and cater. I don't know if you've noticed on TV, but I can tell you it is required of Saddam's underlings, and that's everybody in Iraq, because he is the leader. They dare not walk out of his presence and turn their back to him. They must sidle out sideways. He has gone one beyond the Pope in his self-deification in that nation. And everybody knows from Tariq Aziz, who wouldn't turn the letter over that President Reagan wrote, and the constant carping on the subject by these thugs and killers who have deified themselves, how much respect means to them. Nothing bothers them quite as much as not being respected. And the media is playing the game. They're so courteous to keep their carping, quisling, able to call out of Iraq. They're so afraid they'll lose a scoop. Well, somebody needs to start talking on the media about this jerk the way they should talk about him. He's a bunker hunker. He's not a hero, he's a bunker hunker. He never anymore went to the front lines than I flew over there by flapping my right arm. If he had gone to the front lines, we would have been saturated with strutting photos of him in the trenches and talking to the men and playing his game as he did before the war when they showed us pictures of him at the front lines. Instead, they show a picture of him in what looks like a cheap Winnebago or Winnebago sitting at the end of it. And anybody that sits with his knees the way he has his knees together raises some real interesting suspicions in my mind. A man sits like that's got a problem. With his fawning goons on each side saying he visited the troops, sitting at the end of this little tubular structure that looks like a Winnebago. He never went outside of it. Now, Hollywood says, I saw this a couple hours ago and I'm still mad. One of the networks received footage of dead children sent from Iraq. They said they wouldn't run the footage because they didn't know when they were killed, but then they showed them. Taking him this long to gather up the few civilian photos that he can find. How many of you in Los Angeles area remember the warnings on New Year's Eve, year after year, to stop people from firing guns in the air? A few guns. Because what goes up must come down. And how many hundreds of times have we seen on the TV that light show in Baghdad of tens of thousands of tracers going in the sky, missiles going in the sky, anti-aircraft guns firing into the sky? What I saw that very first night is enough to create enough self-imposed damage in and around Baghdad to give me a picture fair for a month. Somebody brings that up to the CNN mouthpiece of Saddam in Baghdad, and he says, well, these were bomb craters. As if he knows the difference between an artillery shell that goes up and comes down and bombs dropped from our planes. There is no proof that Saddam, who sends human waves of lice-covered, scabby people to die for his ego, that uses poison gas, genocide on the historic Kurdistan people that probably have a history in Iraq as rich as his, that he wouldn't take an artillery shell or explosives and blow a church or holy place up. He has no more genuine Islamic faith than a monkey. He has no more submission to the principles of the Quran than a goat. He uses religion as he uses everything else to serve his own self-deification megalomania. And the media knows that. Our people do not deny that there will be civilian casualties. But as Schwarzkopf said, we even place our pilots at risk by the attempts to be scrupulously careful in the kinds of targets and the efforts to make sure those targets are hit to avoid the civilian populace. Not once have you caught the tone on the media by the news media themselves that these Scud attacks are terrorist tactics. Now we're getting more play of the so-called civilian casualties in Iraq than we are the intentional civilian terrorism meted out in Saudi Arabia and in Israel by the Scud missile attacks. These people are students of Trotsky and Marx and Lenin, and they are still providing aid and comfort to the enemy. They are not providing news. When you know it's the purpose of the enemy to shoot and hit a particular building, you're a traitor to be a spotter for them. The purpose of terrorism is to bring terror. Therefore, when you report on the terror, you have become a spotter for the enemy. These people have read the manuals. Let me say it again. The results of terrorism are achieved when you report the results of terrorism. A bomb aimed toward destroying a bunker wouldn't we like Saddam Hussein to tell us you destroyed the bunker? We can X that off. Purpose accomplished. When the purpose is to spread terror, you are traitorous to report the accomplishment of that purpose. The media has spread more terror than Saddam has been able to spread. And he's achieving his purpose. Everything is terrorism. The treatment of the prisoners of war is terrorist tactics. The terrorists have been doing that. They've been taking hostages. And when, I don't care what they say, it backfired. But not through any thanks to the media. The media could have activated the ultimate response to that terrorist tactic a little sooner if they'd reported it properly. It was designed to instill fear. The oil spill is terrorist tactic, and the purpose was accomplished. We're now finding that the military and the assets that are available to the United States and others can handle this oil spill. They'll be damaged for years, but nothing like what was predicted by the media. The water supply of the Arabian Peninsula was going to be wiped out. He accomplished his terrorist purpose. In time of war, you have to choose up sides. If America deliberately lies about something, I think the press has a right to point it out. But when they know the other side is lying and using them as a vehicle of their lies, and the only thing they can criticize our side for is not telling them everything they want to know. And how many of you think we could have accomplished what was done to save the environment by bombing those manifolds if the press had been able to find it out before they went? And how many think the press would have kept from telling the world about it? So I'm fed up with the press, and I'm still asking you to keep up the letter writing and keep up the calling to the media, because they are not being honest, they are not being balanced, they are not being journalists, they're being frustrated, petulant little children who have ruled the nation in their own view for so long that in their own way they are closer to Saddam than they are to Thomas Jefferson. They believe their own advertisement want to brainwash us and control us the way that Saddam wants to control his people and the world, and they need to get on the spectrum a little closer to Thomas Jefferson and the rest of the people of America, and they need to be told that. So get on telephone. Rancho Cucamonga, I heard on the radio that Saddam has requested that CNN ship into Iraq from Jordan a satellite uplink to continue broadcasting live TV from Baghdad. Iraq's past uplink were destroyed by bombing. If they ship it in there, I think it's treason. And it violates the embargo. Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City says what I said earlier, the media doesn't really want to broadcast news because they didn't carry Schwarzkopf's briefing this morning live. Garden Grove, I heard last Saturday that Russia was sending supplies and tanks to Iraq. What do you think, Doc? I think they're too busy doing their own thing to do that, but I think that they won't stay on our side long. Certainly no longer than it ceases to serve their purposes, but they may hang in there throughout the air part of it. Saddam Hussein was appointed head of internal security, or it was at the suggestion of Michelle or Michael Aflack, I call him, a flock, who was the ideologue of the Ba'ath Party, who took his cues from Hitler Germany and Mussolini and a student of Marx and Lenin and the Russian Revolution. What you have, when you take the time to study it in Iraq, is a 20-year program of brainwashing the youth, turning them against their parents, and a nation that worships Saddam Hussein much more than the Hitler youth even worshipped Adolf Hitler. What you have is racism personified and is mutilated, twisted and caricatured view of the pan-Arabic nation, who has developed a brainwashed, cultic society of youth, 40% of them being under 25, who are informers on their own parents and praised for doing it by the government, who have grown up from their earliest youth having their brains and minds invaded by his fascist, self-worshipping doctrines, until they don't even view Iraq, the land, as the basis, like Vietnam did, for a nationalistic Iraqi people, but rather as a people who happen to be temporarily constrained by this territory in the fulfillment of their worldwide pan-Arabic racist objectives. What Saddam truly believes, believing his own advertisement, is that he can rally and coerce the world around him the way he has this nation in the Fertile Crescent. You have Hitler reincarnated, only worse. With, until this war, the possibility of nuclear weapons that he would have used to bring the world to their knees in front of him, as all terrorists, abusing the civilized of this world who will not do to other human beings what he not only is willing to do, but seems to enjoy doing. A sadistic, brutal, megalomaniac fascist who has invaded the minds for 20 years with an educational system designed to deify him. You have Jimmy Jones as a better analogy than any other person you can turn to other than Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler is mentioned because he was such a scab on mankind. But in Saddam's case, he's elevated it to a religious cult. And he needs to be seen for what he is. And the media needs to ask themselves, is this the way they would have reported the Second World War? And the so-called public's right to know, which now incorporates the enemy's concomitant knowing. Does anyone in the media remember our history? Had Japan known, truly known, the extent of the damage that they inflicted at Pearl Harbor, the war might have turned out differently, and the West Coast would have been immediately invaded. What saved us in that Second World War was that they did not know the extent of the damage until we had a chance to regroup. But if CNN had been around, the Japanese would have known the extent of the damage under some warped viewpoint of the public's right to know. There is no constitutional right of the public to know. And there are multitudinous cases, including those at the Supreme Court level, that in times of national security, where the survival of the nation and its soldiers are at stake, their freedoms bow to what used to be called compelling state interests, or rather clear and present danger to the Union, and now compelling state interests that, having been asserted and established, allow intrusions into constitutional areas. They're merely reaping what they sowed. I sat here and said, if the media does not think enough of the First Amendment to rise up in defense of the attack in this decade on religion, and fail to recognize that the price of freedom is association with nuts, they will find that these are collateral rights, conjoint. What applies to one applies to the other. Now they're reaping what they sowed and squealing like a stuck hog. When their control over the mind of America and their absolute freedom that they've continued to abuse, and their self-anointing of themselves as a fourth branch of government above the other three, as far as I'm concerned, we're at war and they need to shut their mouth. Be glad for the spoon feeding they're getting and let the war be won. Then return to their carping ways with a little more educated viewpoint of what the media really is. There is no right of the public to know. There is merely a First Amendment right that restricts government from passing any legislation that restricts the press. But in times of compelling state interest, they can be temporarily and sometimes permanently on certain issues restrained. There are some rights of privacy. There is the right of pursuit of happiness. There is the right to live that these soldiers, boys, and women whose lives are in harm's way are entitled to. And that right is more important than the right of some newspaper or television reporter to scoop some story for a couple of minutes for his own aggrandizement and selfish ego and lie about it with a smokescreen that it's being done for you and me when we both know better. It's a kind of fascist technique, and they need to be named for the fascists they are. Fascism assumes an elite who know what the public needs, and it doesn't matter that they don't want it. They're too stupid to know what they need, and therefore this elite who possesses the truth gives them what they need in the view of that elite. That's what the media is doing. They're fascists in disguise. Under the disguise of trying to improve our democratic society. I took social philosophy at Stanford while I was doing my doctorate. First paper I wrote for Larry Thomas at Stanford was on a critique of fascism. As a social philosophy, it presupposes, as I've said, an elite who know a truth that no one else has access to, and then they do what's best for the people, including filtering that truth out as they think we need it. So you can be a nice fascist or a bad fascist, it's still fascism. When you make that arrogant, egocentric, mind-boggling, megalomaniac assumption that the American people don't know what's best for them, and we need this elite group sitting there that's talking heads every night to tell us what we want. Every poll in the nation says what we want. We want them to shut up. Shut up giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Shut up chasing their stupid egos. Shut up putting their silly faces in front of the phone. They run. Well, some of them are going to probably get self-pinned on themselves, purple hearts for stumbling on the stairs, trying to get up where the camera can show their face. At least one old-fashioned journalist says, news is not them showing us how panicked they are and putting their stupid gas masks on and going through their up and down emotional roller coaster for the benefit of the cameras. News is getting down there where the people are in the sealed rooms and letting them talk. News is getting down there and showing pictures of life down in the bomb shelters. There are any restrictions on them doing that? They want their own face up there. They're more actors than they are journalists. They're bitten with a virus of self-worship because they've looked at themselves on monitors so many times. It's not journalism. And it's fascism for them to think that we need them to do for us what we don't want. I want them to shut up. And I think I'm in the majority. I want them to tell Iraq to take their bombed out dish and use it to start a scud. I want them to quit belittling what we do, criticizing everything that our boys do, and taking the enemy in their obvious propaganda and treating it as gospel. I'm tired of them fawning on these representatives of Iraq and Jordan because they're afraid that they might lose a scoop from one of these governmental entities. When are they going to have the guts to say what one senator said to the ambassador to the United States that's been sent back to Iraq and probably wishes he is still here? I don't believe a word you say. When is a newsman going to have the gonads to say what he knows is true to one of these lying, carping loudmouths? You're a terrorist, and you're a liar who tries to rationalize everything you do. And when you get done lying, you will probably tell us that the reason that Saddam went into Iraq is because we've been bombing Baghdad. Before it's over, they'll invert the time and convince their people that we bombed them before they went to Iraq. These elitist newsmen have neither courage nor character. They're sodomizers. I'm tired of them committing sodomy on me. In spite of their arrogance, I have better taste than they do. The way they operate. So I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right. But God's still in control. Saddam is not. The prince of the power of the air certainly rules him and seems to rule the media. But those that know their Bible know that God has positioned the nations. And once again, those that are recipients of Abraham's promise are aligned together, and those that carry on the evil traditions of Babylon and their anti-God state, and Saddam's not even a good Muslim. He cannot back up what he does with the Quran. Even though his people decreed what the official Quran was for Iraq, he can't even claim to be living according to the Quran. He has killed Islamic people by the hundreds of thousands in Iran, in Kuwait, in his own country. He carries forward the tradition of genocide that was carried out against the Assyrian Nestorian Christians, the Kurds. He's a murdering, fascist, megalomaniac who gives us a little glimpse of what Antichrist himself will be like. He just doesn't have the demon power yet because he's not the man. He's a prototype, and he's going to get whipped. Now, you folks that are listening in any of the cities, I wish, in addition to writing the president and the media, your complaints to the media, your encouragement to the president, you need to write the stations where you're listening to me and tell them that you're glad I'm on in your city. And you can listen every night if you just get a shortwave radio. You can listen every night on 9785 from 8 p.m., to midnight West Coast time. Now, we will continue live off Westar 5, Transponder 1X, as we are 24 hours a day, and we will continue on the local stations that are carrying us past this half hour. We'll still be here. But in the moments that remain, write the phone number down, because if you call and the phone's busy, you can still get through and give me your responses. And to those that are leaving us right now, same time, same place next Sunday night, on most of the stations, some of the stations every night, and on shortwave radio every night, 8 p.m. to midnight, West Coast time. Get on the telephone as the music plays. Well, you can call it by whatever name you want. At the very least, it's unpatriotic. The worst, it'd be treason. Houston, Texas. Sam Donaldson showed on TV how the Patriot missile worked and its weaknesses. You're right that the majority of the people want the media to shut up. Houston, Texas, listening on 39. How long has he been back on here? I just flipped the button tonight and there he was. And I appreciate what he had to say about the media. LaPorte, Texas. I'm enjoying the message. I've been listening to you all evening on my shortwave, 9785. Before you came on Channel 39, now I'm watching on Channel 39 and listening to the radio. Here's a good piece of news. Atwater on 60 Minutes tonight. The interviewer asked a chemical warfare expert and scientist how he would deliver the weapons discussed. His reply was that he didn't want to give the Iraqis any ideas, and he refused to answer the question. Yeah. About time. Pasadena, Texas. Thank God for someone who thinks like we do. He should be on prime time. I stumbled into him one night, and every Sunday night after that, I've been watching. I'm really enjoying the prophecy and the preaching. My husband enjoys also. I think the world of this man. Been telling everyone I know about him. I'd like the truth in the pulpit. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I like this guy. I really want him on prime time. They should cancel one of the evangelists and put him on. If I lived a little closer, I'd spend a lot of time driving to get there. We are recovering Baptists. Listen to this, Clarksville, Tennessee. I am a retired ballistic missile scientist. What Saddam's scientists saw from the news coverage of the Scuds was that the Scuds split in two when hit by a Patriot. They also saw an empty fuel tank in the street. Now they completely fill the fuel tank, so they have two chances to get explosions. The two recent bright flash explosions in Israel that have no crater were fuel cell explosives. This is the aid that the media has supplied. Marina Del Rey. The videotape released today of the manifolds being bombed is infrared imaging showing the far right pumping unit in white, which means it was obviously pumping oil at the time. The media will never point that out because it would prove the Iraqis turned to spigots. By the way, the last frame of video clearly shows the bolts on the manifold flange, a direct hit. Blytheville, Arkansas, her local CBS channel interviewed one of Saddam's former associates who just escaped from there, and this guy said Saddam was not in his bunker, but was hiding in the midst of concentrated civilian areas because he knows the U.S. will not bomb there. St. Petersburg, Florida. 2,000 of our children were in the Disney-sponsored Super Bowl halftime show tonight. For over a month, the supporting parents and children have practiced for this show and promised national TV coverage. But ABC preempted the halftime show with Peter Jennings' face to show something they thought was more important in the Gulf. What could be more important than showing the soldiers in the Gulf the very patriotic show with close-ups of some of the children who have parents in the Gulf now? It was a very good show, and we're damn mad at ABC for not showing it. I'm going to send you the full videotape of the show. I hope you get a chance to show it sometime. You get me permission to show it, and you can guarantee I'll show it on this network. But I have to know that it's not copyrighted material and I'm free to show it. Glendale on KFWB radio this evening, they said that CNN had admitted that the oil slick they'd been showing are not from Saddam's slick. It's a small patch from a tanker sunk several days before. Saddam's slick has not yet reached shore. I wonder how they got those shots and if they knew they were showing a slick that was not the slick they were reporting on. San Francisco. I noticed on David Brinkley's show that Sam Donaldson said they want to get in to talk to the troops and pilots after missions to see how they felt bombing someplace, like the way they run into the locker rooms after a game and spy on the players. I'm just reading, folks. Oakland, I'm deeply disturbed by Jesse Jackson and Mrs. King's message. I'm black and I don't like it. I don't like the message, not that he doesn't like black. Perry, New York, amen for the comments you just made. I work for a local TV show, and it's the worst place I've ever worked. Everything he says about the media is so true. That's the way the messages are calling. How do you feel about it? Get on telephone. Republic of Fear, The Politics of Modern Iraq, by Samir al-Khalil. Portraits of leaders signify power in the Middle East, but these are rarely as big and varied as in Ba'athist Iraq. A large painted cutout figure of Saddam Hussein towers over the entrance of every Iraqi village. That's reason enough to bomb it. I call that a military target. He wants to spare the citizens, take them down. Attack them all in one place. And tell us where they're at, and we'll go for just the signs. A large painted cutout figure of Saddam Hussein towers over the entrance of every Iraqi village. Often at night, it emits a lurid, fluorescent glow. A 30-foot-high version can be seen near Baghdad city center. Reason to bomb it, carpet bomb it. Photographs adorn every shop, school, police station, army barracks, and public building. Reason to bomb them all, and can be seen in people's offices and living rooms and overhanging the streets from the parapets of houses. That's reason to bomb them all. No official will appear before a camera without a picture of Saddam in the background, and his name is evoked in every public address. This is a cult, an entire nation that has become a cult. Now, how many of you remember when the media took whatever the government said about any religious figure in America except the Pope and took it as unmitigated, undifferentiated, not to be criticized truth? And no matter what was said in defense of the religious leaders they were out to destroy because they represented some competition to their mind control over America, they would not repeat that side of the story. Now, the worst religious leader in America is not as bad as Saddam. And the worst of them left, Jimmy Jones. Saddam is president of the republic, chairman of the council of ministers, commander-in-chief of the armed forces, chairman of the RCC, which is the revolutionary control entity, general secretary of the regional command of the ABSP, which is the party, chairman of the Supreme Planning Council, chairman of the Committee on Agreements, chairman of the Supreme Agricultural Council, and chairman of the Supreme Council for the Compulsory Eradication of Illiteracy, and that just among other things. In addition to these party and state functions, an impressive array of honorific titles and forms of address include the leader president, the leader struggler, the standard bearer, the Arab leader, the knight of the Arab nation, the hero of national liberation, the father leader, and the daring and aggressive knight. Hunkering down in his bunker. On radio, in a typical political broadcast, his name is mentioned 30 to 50 times an hour, along with reams of titles suited to the occasion. And there are responsible articles and journals and books that point all this out. The count just read was done by A. Hottinger in the Swiss Review of World Affairs, June 1984, entitled The Personality Cult and Party in Iraq. News broadcasts shower him with congratulatory telegrams and groveling speeches. The streets of Baghdad grind to a halt whenever he leaves the presidential palace. Sirens go off, soldiers line the route, and busy people rush to the public squares to see him pass. School children memorize verses in his honor, praising his qualities. Slogans attributed to him are visible everywhere. School notebooks carry his portrait on the front and his latest sayings on the back. Iraqi teenagers wear Saddam Hussein t-shirts, and the real enthusiast can buy a gold wristwatch with Saddam Hussein peering through the dials. The political reality behind all the photographs and appearances is the power of fear. Very soon, the same people were choose to surround themselves with pictures of Saddam Hussein in their homes and offices are enculturated to believe that this wards off evil. The same media that quite rightly exposed Jimmy Jones and then proceeded to beat every religious leader in America to death with that image now refuse to recognize that same image holding a 17 million population country in the same kind of punch-drinking, cultic, damnable mind slavery that sends his troops to the front. If they even consider retreating, they'll be shot as they retreat. How can you make... Look, it's right, so don't misunderstand me. It's right that Jimmy Jones and what he led his people into should be exposed as an evil scab on the face of humanity. And the wrong of the personality cult and the brainwashed status of his followers. But the same media neglects to point out that over a half a million boys and young people were thrown as cannon fodder under the same kind of mind-bending, cultic, megalomaniac control against fellow Islams in Iran, and he now has them on one meal a day covered with lice, emaciated and dug in to give their lives in a much worse manner on the borders of Kuwait and Saudi Arabia than what happened to those few who drank punch at the command of their cultic leader. I do not believe the media would have equated the statements of Jimmy Jones with the same moral investiture as they give the Pope. And why are they giving the statements of this madman cult leader a moral investiture equivalent to the statements of the civilized world. The new leader, Saddam, heaps contempt and disdain even upon those who surround him in conferences and public assemblies attended by Saddam Hussein. The most powerful men of the country can usually be seen with folded hands, peering down at the ground or applauding him harder than anyone else. Ministers do not turn their backs on Saddam when leaving the room. They shuffle out sideways, inconspicuously. All political power in the nation is located in the person of the leader. Your qualification by the Ba'ath definition of the right to be called an Arab begins with your recognition that whatever he says is right. And even though you may be a national Arab, if you disagree with Saddam, you become a sinister agent of Zionism, Americanism, imperialism, and thus an enemy of the people. And the authority of the people in the Reform Act that was passed is defined, since the Constitution gives ultimate authority to the people. The people is defined as those who recognize that the party personified in Saddam knows what's best for them. Criminals who belong to the party, it is urged that they be treated kindly, even though they've committed gross criminal acts, if they can be rehabilitated in devotion to the party. To utter a word against Saddam is a capital offense because it is a crime against, quote, the people. The people being defined by stipulated definition as those who agree with Saddam. Reminds me of the media telling us what the people want. Fascism personified. Why isn't the media telling you this? It's all available. If they want to do some sound research, instead of reading idiot cards and standing in front of a camera and showing their face off and telling us that we need them to be our proxy. So far, they've showed too much ignorance of the real state of affairs in Iraq prior to this war to be respected in any opinion they give regarding Iraq. Just thought I'd say that.